Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, supply chain logistics industry. And it's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Megan Kuntz at Envista, as well as Jeff Milsom, where today we're going to talk about transportation outsourcing. Which path is right for you? When I have conversations with transportation professionals and they're looking at the transportation strategies and the transportation objectives, a lot of times they're thinking about, what kind of, processes should they do in-house? Which one should they, perhaps work with a third party for? And, to generalize a little bit, historically, it was a decision between doing everything in-house or outsourcing everything to a third party. But the reality is that today there are many other paths that shippers can take and many other different types of services that they can, engage with in order to achieve their transportation objectives. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today, is really explore what those different paths are. What are the decision points in terms of which path is the right one for you as a shipper? I'm very happy to have Megan on board, to discuss that with us today. And Jeff hopefully will join us as well. He was having some technical difficulties earlier, so if we can get him on, it'll be great to get his perspective as well. Like it's part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you do have a question for Megan or Jeff, if he comes on board as we're having our discussion here, you can do so via the submit a question button, and I'll keep an eye on it. And if it's a good and appropriate question, I'll try to weave it into the conversation. Just a reminder that if you are joining us as a visitor, you will have to sign in first before you're able to ask a question. So with that, Megan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, you have the opportunity to, talk with a lot of different executives in your role there at Envista. So what's kind of top of mind for them today, when you talk to these transportation executives, and what are some of their, key objectives and challenges that they're facing?
Sure. So, talking to executives today, in today's world, I would say a couple things come to mind. When I'm talking with them, kind of trends that they see or things that they see as top of mind. One would be forecasting. Forecasting has such far-reaching effects that it's kind of top of mind because getting your forecasting right really it extends out to ensuring that you have the right freight at the right place at the right time. So, I would definitely say forecasting is one. Coming out of last year's peak retail season, I would say carrier capacity is also another one. With the capacity issues that we saw last retail season, everyone's game planning right now and trying to get ahead of that eight ball, to ensure that those same issues either don't happen again this season or trying to find ways to, work around those issues if we are going to continue to see them. And it doesn't even stick to only carrier capacity. There are DC capacity issues that you might see that executives are trying to get ahead of right now as opposed to waiting until later. And then lastly, what I touched on earlier would be having the right freight at the right place at the right time. That all results from customer demand. So working backwards from when you need that actual freight to deliver. And then, seeing what forecasts you need to put in place to ensure that you're ordering the right quantity and you have everything ready to go.
Yeah, I think that correlates very well with kind of what I hear from shippers as well. And certainly, I think you made a good point. I mean, we talk a lot about capacity, right? And it's not only transportation capacity, it's also the whole ecosystem, right? And it's not only even with transportation, there's a lot of focus on the trucking side, but I think as we just saw with the West Coast ports, that there are issues on the ocean and rail, really across the board. It's something that really I see something that supply chain logistics professionals and transportation professionals continue to, be challenged around. I see that Jeff has got himself back on, so let me put him on the air just to see if we can see and hear him. It looks like we might have lost him there. So let's seems like he might be still having some technical difficulties there. So let's get back to I kind of mentioned that a lot of times, shippers kind of get to that fork in the road, right? And really, what they have to determine which transportation function should they keep in-house, and which one should they, should they outsource? I mean, what factors go into that decision?
So, I think that shippers need to basically ask themselves a set of questions. Stop and think to yourself, is it a core competency of mine? If not, maybe you should look at what we'll call outsourcing for right now. If it is or isn't a core competency, what does your budget look like for the year or, for the next 5 years? Obviously budget constrains a lot of things, so that's one thing that you definitely want to take into consideration. If you are looking at possibly keeping your managed transportation in-house, do you have the manpower and do you have the time to not only invest in the initial implementation of gearing up that managed transportation, but do you also have the manpower and the time to invest in continually running the operation as well as at the same time looking for ways to keep adding value to reduce your costs and plan for those curves in the road or the trends that might be coming down the pike.
Now, I know one of the key constraints that a lot of shippers have is really with the on the people side, right? I mean, a lot of times, there's technology obviously that could be a constraint, and that's a decision point whether do we implement technology, what are the white spaces that we have within our own capabilities, and do we have the budget, so on and so forth, to implement some technology. But then there's actually the people power, right, behind it in terms of being able to manage the planning and the execution side. I mean, do you see that as kind of, is the people side of things becoming a bigger and bigger constraint or challenge for companies today?
It definitely is. A lot of times it either comes down to do they have that person that can actually, manage the transportation? Does that person have the experience? Do they have someone that can train that person? Or, aside from that, if they don't currently have anyone, are they able to, peel someone away from, maybe a different task or a different position that they're currently in and devote that person to, actually managing that transportation? And we find a lot that shippers either overestimate or sometimes even underestimate how many people they actually need to manage transportation. We've seen cases, where they have an entire team that isn't necessary. Maybe they're just inefficiently operating the, their transportation management with too many people, whether that be too many people on an operation. Maybe they could cut that down a little bit and have a couple people on the operation and a couple people, doing some analysis work. It kind of just depends, but we've noticed that, there are times where shippers just don't really know or they aren't good at being able to say, I need X amount of people to efficiently run this operation.
Right. Yeah, and I think even that the talent, finding the right talent, we've heard so much about that over the past few years in terms of having people that had the skills necessary either on the planning or the execution side, to run, transportation operations is something that many shippers are dealing with. And even on, I mean, I think another aspect, another dimension to the people side is just IT resources. That comes into play more around the technology side, right? So people may have the budget or want to implement a technology tool in-house, but they only have so many limited IT resources that might be working on a whole host of other technology deployment projects. They may not even have the time or enough resources to implement some of the technology necessary to run a transportation operation effectively. Do you find that as well from an IT resource being a constraint for some of the shippers you talk to?
Yes, we do, and that isn't necessarily just with managing or running a transportation operation. That's if there's projects going on where maybe you want to go down that path of doing some type of project within your transportation management operation. It seems like there's always not necessarily IT resource issues, but usually it's where your project sits on the list of IT's to-do list. And if you aren't the person screaming the loudest, then you're just going to have to sit and wait in line.
Right, exactly. Well, I like that. Sometimes you do, have to scream loud to get that attention. Well, let me see. I think Jeff is trying to get back on here, so let me go put him on the air and see if we can see and hear him this time.
How's it going?
Hey, Jeff, welcome. Glad you can. Glad it seems like we were able to resolve these issues. So I'm glad you can join us.
I think so. We'll see how long this lasts. You can hear me okay now?
I can hear you okay.
Great.
All right, so Megan, and we'll get to you, Jeff, in just a minute here, but Megan, just to kind of continue the point here, so Megan, I'll have you answer this first, and then Jeff, you can add your two cents here. You hear these terms, right? 3PL, managed service provider, broker, and a lot of times, those terms are used kind of interchangeably when people talk about outsourcing, but do they mean the same things? I mean, what differentiates them?
Sure. So, shippers oftentimes get these terms confused because they are thrown around so often and so used so interchangeably. But they definitely do mean something different. I'll speak more from the managed transportation side, and I'll let Jeff handle the brokerage side of things a little bit more. But, even on a managed transportation side, there could be a couple different ways to differentiate, what type of managed transportation you're looking at. Things like, are you using your own contracts? Do you own your own contracts? Do you need to use your managed service provider's contracts that they own? Do you have your own license for whatever transportation management system you're using? Do you need to use, your managed service provider's transportation management license? It kind of just depends, and there's a couple different factors that come into play there. The one thing that I like to point out, though, is the topic of today is discussing transportation outsourcing and which paths should you choose. I think oftentimes shippers get confused or they get scared of the word outsourcing. A lot of times they feel like outsourcing is more or less, losing control of their freight. It's pushing it off to this managed service provider and they have no control over it. Whereas, a lot of times I think shippers associate more with words such as collaborating on their managed transportation or, having someone else actually do the management of it. And the reason being is because, a lot of times with collaboration or having someone, another company actually manage the transportation makes them feel like they still have control of it and they still own it. Whereas with outsourcing, it feels more like, they don't have any control anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think that word outsourcing does put folks in a certain state of mind. I think that loss of control is something that is a concern for a lot of shippers today because they and it's kind of the schizophrenic thing, right? Because they want to use your words, they want to partner with somebody, but they still want to maintain some level of control. And I think that makes for some interesting conversations in terms of can you outsource and still maintain control? And then what does that mean, right? Jeff, what are your thoughts here on the kind of the different terminology that's being used out there and kind of what the landscape looks like?
Well, it's interesting. I'm down here at this NASSTRAC conference in Orlando. So folks are coming up and chatting with us, and they ask, what does Envista do? And I always say, well, at our core, we're a consulting firm. And to which they reply, okay, so are you a 3PL or a broker or a software firm? And that's partially a marketing problem. So folks brand themselves as a consultant because consultants generally come in and help. And shippers sometimes feel like the other types of service providers are there to take advantage or just make money. And so when I say, well, at our core, well, 90 some percent of our revenue comes from consulting services. And we think that makes us a better managed operations partner or enterprise brokerage partner because we're committed to what we like to say is the right answer. And so oftentimes, when we're sitting there with a client or prospect and talking about what they might do differently in their transportation operation, a lot of times we're sitting down with our consultant hat, our operator hat, and our implementer hat and trying to figure out what the right next thing to do is. And so, in the market, a lot of these business models are converging. So, 3PLs are becoming more consultative. Consultants are becoming more operational or more technology driven. Even carriers are becoming more software driven, right? So, as everyone looks for different ways to differentiate, they move into these different spaces, and it creates this sort of gray space that we all sit in as a hybrid, consultant 3PL technology firm.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you hit on something that I've been certainly talking about and writing about over the past few years, and it's about this convergence of these business models of 3PLs, technology companies and consultants, because I think the you know, from a shipper standpoint, from a customer standpoint, what they're really looking is for the right mix of what each of those businesses have historically brought them, right? They're looking for some level or some capabilities around managed services or the ability to help on the execution side. They're looking for someone to come in and help them with ideas and best practices and provide some business intelligence and some insights. And they're also looking for, you know, some technology, right? And help them address some of the white spaces on the technology front. So it's been very interesting to kind of see, you know, this convergence of business models taking place over the past few years. And I think it gets to that point where it is now you know, talking about the different paths, you know, I think that from a shipper standpoint, the reality is that there are many more options today, more flexible options today, in terms of what they can procure, if you will, from a partner than, you know, let's say 10 or 15 years ago. Would you agree with that, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at sort of our organization within our business unit, we have a lot of different backgrounds. So Stephen Craig, our partner, very heavy consulting background, a lot of TMS implementation. We've got, you know, I've got a TMS and 3PL background. Megan's got a managed operations background. We have guys from C.H. Robinson, Echo, Celadon, so asset-based carriers. So even if you look at our sort of business unit, we've got a medley of people that sort of help put together that hybrid model, hybrid approach. So it's very interesting how it's evolving.
So now kind of that leads to kind of the next question. So I'm a shipper now. I mean, how do I determine which path or which type of service or service provider is the best one to take?
That's the million-dollar question. So, you know, when we look at this, a lot of times we try to understand, you know, what is their strategy going forward? What are they good at? You know, how have they dealt with their brokerage relationships in the past? How savvy are they from an IT perspective? What kind of resources do they have? You know, when I signed on, I heard you guys talking about getting in line behind IT. You know, that's a huge driver in how you go forward. So if you're going to look at implementing a TMS and operating it versus outsourcing to a broker, you know, the IT piece is a huge risk. And if it's going to take you 12 to 18 months to implement something, you should punt on a TMS and an operation. You should really look more towards a broker and leverage their technology. So, you know, you've just got to evaluate the different pieces and kind of say, what am I good at? What am I organizationally capable of handling? What's my team strong at? And, you know, what kind of support do I have from the executives above me? You know, everyone, it's always going to be about, you know, what's the lowest total cost to own? But you got to factor in sort of the risks involved with each decision, because, you know, you might have a high ROI from implementing a TMS, but a lot of risk. So it's a difficult question that we are trying to always answer for our shippers.
Megan, do you have anything to add to that, or any thoughts related to that?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the
perfect
last
answer.
Piece of, perfect answer. Yeah, I mean, I think you brought up a great point, Jeff. I mean, I think you used the word risk, and I think that's something that definitely has to come into the calculation there, right? Because it's not only a question of time, right? It's not a question of only money, but there's an element of risk there as well, and what the consequences of those risk factors are, which I think comes into the decision process. So I guess the next question then, Jeff, I'll start with you, is, you know, so then who should be involved in the decision process to determine what the right path ought to be?
As many people as possible. So, you know, obviously this is going to be led by the transportation folks, you know, typically a VP of transportation or VP of logistics, but it's good to get the IT folks involved early. It's good to get the sales and procurement folks involved early. Can you guys hear me okay still?
I can hear you, yeah.
You know, a lot of times the logistics and transportation folks, they don't involve sales, procurement, and IT early enough. And that's one way, when you talk about risk, you know, how to reduce risk is really defining the IT requirements early on, because that helps the service providers scope out the work that they're going to do. So you want to get as many people involved, and sometimes we have to ask, and sometimes, you know, shippers are very good about that. But more often than not, you know, I find I'm asking, you know, when we're on site, you know, I'd like to spend one or two full days, and I'd like to be in a room with the folks in all the different divisions, because we need to hear their perspective and hear their experience and find out where they've got scars or where there's opportunities for doing something different.
I mean, I think obviously, you know, having all the internal stakeholders involved in that decision, you know, not only that, obviously the transportation and distribution folks be part of the discussion as well as IT. Do you find many shippers bring in their external partners, meaning specifically like their carriers, and do you think they should be part of the process too?
They should be. You know, historically, I haven't had them involved in the process, but that's a good point that they should be. You know, when we're looking at it from, obviously from an enterprise brokerage perspective, we would be, you know, replacing incumbents, so they probably wouldn't bring them in. But we do have a couple customers that we have a hybrid relationship with, where they've got historical relationships in a geographic region where, you know, there's no way that we could do anything better. And so those folks are involved, not necessarily in the decision process, but during the implementation process, they're very important. To make sure they're set up on EDI and make sure that their contracts are rating properly and that invoices flow in correctly and that, you know, there's not a disruption in the payment process after go live. But early in the process, the external stakeholders, you know, let's say vendors, carriers, you know, external IT folks, they're not typically involved.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think I don't see that as much as well either, particularly in the early stages. But I think that is certainly an emerging best practice, is really, particularly in the transportation, you know, strategy definition stage, is really to bring in particularly those key carriers that, you know, you're going to be working with just because you have long term relationships. They've been, you know, great partners, you know, all along, you know, to bring them into the process to help define, you know, what the right path is moving forward, and to be able to capture their input and perspective in terms of what they see as important, you know, moving forward. You know, it seems like Jeff, we kind of lost Jeff there right now, but Megan, let's go right to you and kind of really address the next question, which is, you know, I think what many shippers experience today and what's reality for them today is that, you know, the transportation environment is becoming even more dynamic than it's ever been, right? So their transportation needs and in many cases their strategies are a little bit more fluid than ever before. So, you know, what happens if, you know, my transportation, you know, management needs or strategy, you know, change in the future? I mean, is changing the path that I take, that is the mix of, you know, what I do in-house versus what I do with a third party, you know, is changing that difficult, and if how do you manage that change?
Sure. So, you know, with shippers today, they should be ready to, you know, take on these changes. They should be looking at trends well ahead of when they're actually happening, and, you know, trying to basically game plan for those. You know, as I mentioned earlier, shippers tend to think, you know, if they outsource their freight, that it's gone, and, you know, that's really not true. You know, collaborating with a managed service provider is something that can really help take on those trends or help take on those changes. You know, the reason being is managed service providers tend to have the experience. You know, they have the expertise in that area, not only from working with, you know, shippers, you know, that are maybe in your same industry and your same size, and, you know, just a wide variety of clients in general, but they also are, you know, probably monitoring the marketplace a little bit more closely and watching for those trends or watching for those changes. And, you know, at the same time, a managed service provider also has the ability to, you know, analyze beforehand what those changes or those trends might mean for that shipper's business. So, you know, a lot of times they think that, you know, if I collaborate or if I outsource or whatever they want to call it, that, you know, they not only lose control, but it makes change or, you know, following trends hard, when in actuality it can, you know, even make it a little bit easier.
No, I agree with that. I think that, you know, you know, what I like to say is, you know, that everyone's talking about cloud and software as a service these days when it comes on the technology front, and talking about the benefits of cloud and SaaS deployment, right? Where it's, you know, faster onboarding, the ability to get faster and continuous improvements and upgrades to the technology, so on and so forth. And I really think that what we're seeing here, when we talked about the convergence of the business models, you're seeing a business model which in many ways is the 3PL equivalent, if you will, of SaaS, which is a much more flexible deployment model that really responds to the shipper needs as they're changing, right? So the reality for a lot of shippers is they may need a service provider that helps them with X today, and maybe 18 months from now they may want to bring that back in-house, but look to outsource, if you will, to use that term, something else, right? And it's the ability for the service provider to be able to respond on an ongoing basis to the changing needs and requirements of their customer. Jeff, your thoughts on that point and kind of the topic that we're talking about here with regards to, hey, you're going down one path today, you made a decision today, but the reality is that your requirements and perhaps your strategy might change down the road. How do you change paths and kind of how do you manage that?
That's a great question. So one way to manage it is to structure the relationship from a pricing perspective, as sort of bucketed and commoditized as possible, so that as the shipper needs change over time, they can maybe detangle one of those services. Maybe it's the process they want to bring back in-house but want to leave the technology in place. Maybe it's the technology they want to change but keep the process in place. So a good way to do that is make sure that the pricing aligns and allows for that to happen. Oftentimes we see folks in relationships with 3PLs where they sort of, pay a fixed amount and they get a ton of things for it. It's very difficult then to strip services out over time from a pricing perspective. So that's a very important way, I think, to enter the relationship.
That's a good point. I mean, obviously, along the lines of this convergence is really rethinking the business model and the pricing models and the way kind of the relationships are established and managed, which really brings me to my next question. Maybe we'll go back to you, Megan. You can start off, and Jeff, you can add on. I mean, in your experience, I mean, what factors or attributes kind of define a successful service provider customer relationship?
I think the number one thing that affects a service provider and a shipper's relationship would be communication. That's usually the answer within any relationship, and here it really comes into play because, from the get-go, the shipper should be letting, the managed service provider know what their expectations are, what their concerns or their weaknesses might be, and what they're looking to accomplish. And, the same goes for the managed service provider doing the same to the shipper. They need to let them know what their expectations are from the shipper, what they're looking to accomplish here, and what basically what they bring to the table. And then that really continues throughout the relationship together. So, keeping those communication lines open and trying to be more proactive as opposed to reactive. So, if there's something that you see as a problem or something you see as an opportunity, bringing that up maybe on a daily, a weekly call. Also, just keeping in regular communication in regards to how their transportation management is looking, and that might be through talking, that might be through periodic business reviews, but basically just keeping that line of communication open so you can keep the relationship healthy and so you can keep that shipper's operation running efficiently and smoothly.
Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, communication's huge. It helps build, I think, the trust. So, early on in the relationship with one of our prospective clients or clients, spending a lot of time on site with them to really understand their business model and understand their strategy and their strengths and their weaknesses, and challenging them on maybe how they've done things historically and seeing how they react to that challenge. So, I've been in a couple uncomfortable situations where I've felt like I should probably challenge them and say I disagree with how they've done it, just to see are they gonna push back and get defensive, or are they gonna say, "Gosh, I don't know if that's gonna work, but let's try it," or "Let's try it maybe in phase two." So it's interesting how you can sort of build that trust or try to interpret how they're gonna react to change, because whatever they're gonna do going forward is probably very different from what they've done historically. So they've got to trust that, when they're not in the room, or when we've got to make a decision for them, that we're going to make the right decision. And so, that's a huge piece of trust. And we really enjoy being in the relationships where someone says, help us, show us how to do it, and tell us how you've done it in the past, and let's make some changes. We like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the point that you make, I mean, I, in terms of, asking some tough questions, perhaps, or, disagreeing, perhaps with some statements that maybe are being made. I think that's the kind of thing that we always hear. I always hear from shippers, looking for from a provider, from a partner, right? It's, to challenge them, to bring them ideas, tell us something that we don't already know, right? That's what I often hear from shippers, right? So they do welcome that kind of constructive feedback, putting ideas on the table, because obviously, on the one hand, they're trying to, they're trying to move their business forward, but they're also got the kind of the blinders on, if you will, because they're also trying to get the day-to-day stuff out. So they lack the visibility to the bigger picture sometimes. And I think that's what they're looking for from providers, to be able to ask those questions that they're just perhaps missing, because they're consumed by, the other aspects of their operations. And communication, yep. Obviously, communication is, it almost is a big cliche to say, but it is. It's a foundation of just about every kind of successful relationship. And without it, you really can't have a positive results moving forward. We're coming short on time here, so I'm just going to go right to the last question. And Megan, I'll start with you, and then Jeff, you can add your points to it. I mean, what advice, would you give to shippers that are at that fork in the road right now, right? They're trying to determine which path to take that will lead them to, achieving their transportation objectives, in the near term as well as the long term. What advice would you give them, Megan?
Sure. So I would tell a shipper to, consult with their peers first. Find someone that you might have in the industry that's, at a company similar to yours, or maybe at a company in the industry that just went through some transportation management changes. Find out what worked for them, maybe what didn't work, and then even look at your own company. Look at the past and what has the company done on that transportation management path so far. And again, what's worked and what hasn't worked. I would also tell them to, make a simple pros and cons list. Pros down the left side and then cons down the right side, and list out what would the pros be of keeping this, keeping the transportation management in-house. What would the cons be? And then do the same thing for, using a managed service provider. And that can really, just flat out lay it out for them so they can see, on paper what might be the best path for them to take.
Great. Jeff, your thoughts?
I think going forward, the ones that are willing and excited to change, it's fun when we're working with a client or prospective client, and we say, hey, can we spend some time? Can we spend a day on site? And they say, can you spend two? So they're there. They want to talk, communicate, share their problems. We think that's a great way to start a relationship or think about sort of the future state. We have a customer that I thought should approach things differently than they wanted the service providers to propose, and I said, if I were you, I would approach it this way. And he said, well, if I were you and you were me, how would you propose to me? I said, I love it. I'll propose if I was you and you were me. So really, he looked at us there, not just as an RFP respondent, but someone who was interested in what their business would look like in a year and sort of what the lowest risk things were to do first and what should be phase two and phase three.
I think those are both great points of advice and food for thought. Like I always say at the end of every episode, we always just manage to scratch the surface of the topics that we, discuss. But certainly I believe we certainly got the wheels turning on really at least identifying and making clear that there are different paths to achieving your transportation objectives, beyond the kind of the two extremes of keeping everything in house and outsourcing everything, to a third party. And I think good communication, through taking a step back and understanding what your strengths and capabilities are in house versus what maybe a third party can provide, and really through the what's happening in the industry through this convergence that we talked about with technology, managed services, and consulting, I think that there are some exciting times ahead for obviously for the industry as well as for shippers. So Megan and Jeff, thank you very much for making the time to be with us today.
Thanks
Thank
for
you very
having
much for having us. And sorry about my technical difficulties here.
Well, I'm glad we were able to work through them nonetheless, and that you were able to contribute to the conversation. So thank you for logging on from on the road there. I want to thank all of you who joined us live today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you are watching this episode on demand and you have a question for Megan or Jeff, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com, and you can post a question or a comment there, and I'm sure Megan and Jeff will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So with that, again, thank you very much for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.
Thank you.